Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to be neat for our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story, an especially interesting essay, or some philosophical quotes or thoughts, or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And first, I want to start our show off by saying Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Beautiful day. Many times on St. Patrick's Day, I know we experience the cold and the rain and sometimes even the snow, but it's a beautiful day and certainly a great day to celebrate St. Patrick's, everyone who's Irish or would like to be. Certainly a great day for a parade and great day to have do a lot of fun things. Eating corned beef is one of them. So I thought I'd start out with a little poem in honor of St. Patrick. And it's entitled, We're All Irish for a Day, by Kevin McCarthy from out in South Holland. Kevin writes, I've never kissed the Blarney Stone, but Blarney's in my blood. Although my sainted mum tried hard to nip it in the bud. I'll sing you honest stories of how life has made me wise. And then my wife can tell you, well, they're all just a pack of lies. To tell the truth, the Guinness is too bitter on my tongue. But who'd drink with an Irishman who's sipping Coke and rum? Don't tell the lads at Shannon's I'd be shunned for blasphemy. I hate corned beef and cabbage, but I'm as Irish as can be. So raise a pint of bitters to the orange and the green, or fill that cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish cream. The rocky road to Dublin's many thousand miles away, but here in old Chicago, we're all Irish for a day. I'm known for speaking Gaelic when I've put a few away. I've never had a lesson. Who knows Gaelic anyway? I've never seen Killarney, but I've been to River Dance. I'm off to see the Rovers every time I get the chance. It's so good to be Irish in the city by the lake. It's good to wear a shamrock and to drink a shamrock shake. My friends will all forgive me if my story's all a lie. They'll throw me a wild party the day after I die. So raise a pint of bitters to the orange and the green, or fill that cup of coffee with some Bailey's Irish cream. The rocky road to Dublin's many thousand miles away. But here in old Chicago, we're all of us Irish for a day. So happy St. Patrick's Day from Kevin McCarthy from South Holland. And I should say a happy St. Patrick's Day to Kimberly Scully Moore and to Christopher Patrick Moore. And to Elizabeth Ann Moore and Paul Daniel, and certainly to Sequoia, and to Rosalie Marie, and to Delia, and to Mira, and to Callie, and to Sean Daniel Moore, and Allie, and Isabella, and Henry Daniel Moore and Shannon Marie Moore and Greg Morrissey. I think I got everybody there. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I hope you're all celebrating wherever you might be, wherever you might be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And we should read a little bit about the history of St. Patrick. Not all of us know about it. You hear stories and legends, of course, but St. Patrick was born to Catholic parents about 385 in Britain. His father was a nobleman and a deacon. But Patrick's privileged life came to an end at age 16 when he was captured by slave raiders from Ireland. With a large group of prisoners, he was transported to the then pagan island. Sold as a slave to a king in the northeast, Patrick had the lonely task of tending the pigs and sheep. In the midst of these harsh living conditions, Patrick's faith flourished as he turned to God in prayer. After being held captive for 6 years, he heard a voice in his sleep say, "Soon you'll go back to your homeland." A short time later, he heard the same voice say, "Your ship is ready." Trusting in God, Patrick set out on a 200-mile journey through unknown territory. When he arrived at the ship, the captain at first refused to take him. But Patrick prayed to God for help, and the captain changed his mind. Then began a lifetime of dedicating his life to becoming a priest. He envisioned returning to Ireland to teach the Irish about Christianity. During his 30 years in Ireland, Patrick founded more than 300 churches and baptized more than 120,000 people. Yet, he still encountered much opposition. "Daily I expect either murder, robbery, or enslavement," he wrote in his confessions. He escaped from 12 attempts on his life. Patrick died a natural death on March 17th, 461. By the end of the 7th century, many legends had developed about him. One, of course, says he charmed all the snakes in Ireland and led them to the sea to drown. Another, probably the most popular, is that he used the three-leafed shamrock to explain the concept of the Holy Trinity to unbelievers. This is probably why shamrocks, now Ireland's national flower, are worn by the Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And on St. Patrick's breastplate is inscribed, "Christ be with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me." So, the story about St. Patrick. Interesting, huh? And if you're interested in some great cupcakes, of course, our friends over Swirls. Cupcakes make people happy. Swirls located right at 705 West Belden, right across the street from Children's Memorial Hospital. Guinness Jameson cupcakes. Holy cats, these look good. All green. Guinness Jameson, chocolate cake filled with Guinness Sabayon. Brushed with Jameson chocolate ganache, topped with a Jameson Irish whiskey, double swirl buttercream, and gold discs. Wow, this looks good. And, of course, in honor of the Girl Scouts, who are just celebrating their 100th birthday, 120th birthday? 100th birthday, Josh says. Chocolate thin mint, chocolate cake, layer of chocolate ganache, chocolate wafer cookie, mint buttercream, dipped in chocolate, garnished with a mint flower and chocolate curls. Oh, cats. Now, Josh likes this because he's had Swirls cupcakes before, and we've brought them into the studio here. It's always been terrific. And now, this is interesting. I just got a press release. Pam Rose, who was our friend, and I want to mention the phone number, 773-404-2253. She delivers, and she delivers in this great old antique car. Wow, that's cool. And delivers to Chicagoland and the suburbs. Whether you're sending cupcakes to your friend in the Loop or a family member who lives in Naperville, we've got you covered. So somebody from Swirl will deliver your cupcakes in a great-looking old-fashioned car. And go on their website, which is swirlscupcakes.com, or give Pam a call again at 773-404-2253. Guinness Jameson Cupcakes, of course, for St. Patrick's Day. Of course, funny joke here, and I mentioned this the other day. An Irish priest is driving down to New York and gets stopped for speeding in Connecticut. Well, the state trooper smells alcohol on the priest's breath and then sees an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car. The police officer says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" The priest looks at him and says, "Officer, no, just water." The trooper says, "Then why do I smell wine?" The priest looks at the bottle and says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Change water into wine. You get that right. That's a joke. This is interesting. In New York, it's Danny Boy, of course, which is going to be our first song coming up, which is my favorite, and we only can hope that Josh doesn't sing along with it. It's depressing. It's not usually sung in Ireland for St. Patrick's Day, Danny Boy. And its lyrics were written by an Englishman who never set foot on Irish soil. A little bit of history there. Those are only some of the reasons why a Manhattan pub owner is banning the song Danny Boy for the entire month of March. It's overplayed, it's been ranked among the 25 most depressing songs of all time, and it's more appropriate for a funeral than for a St. Patrick's Day celebration, said Sean Clancy, who owns Foley's Pub and Restaurant across the street from the Empire State Building in New York. The 38-year-old Clancy, who started bartending when he was 12, of course, at his father's pub in County Cavan, Ireland, promised a free Guinness to patrons who sing any other traditional Irish song at the pub's pre-St. Patrick's Day karaoke party. The lyrics for Danny Boy, published in 1913, were written by an English lawyer named Frederick Edward Weatherly, who never even visited Ireland, according to Malachi McCourt, author of the book Danny Boy, The Legend of the Beloved Irish Ballad. So it was important enough to write a book about it, so it must be something that everybody remembers. Of course, some interesting things happening at Hubbard Street this weekend. Always at the forefront of original and innovative contemporary dance, Hubbard Street Dance Chicago celebrates the spring dance season with a world premiere by its prolific and internationally celebrated resident choreographer, Alejandro Cerruto, as well as the return of two awe-inspiring audience favorites, Sharon Isles' Tu Boku and Alonzo King's Following the Subtle Current Upstream, at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance in Millennium Park, Saturday and Sunday. If you want some information, you can go on to the Harris Theater website or give them a call at 312-850-9744. Always great things happening over there. Farrah Williams, our good friend, is the press director over there and sent that to us. And so if you're looking for a little bit of culture after the parade today, you certainly can enjoy that over at Harris Theater for Music and Dance. Well, I thought what we would do in honor of St. Patrick's Day, of course, is play some great Irish music. And one of Chicago's favorite vocalists is Catherine O'Connell. Catherine always says she plays funerals and weddings. But, of course, she is much more talented than that. She has a CD. She's from St. Thomas More, our old neighborhood on the South Side, former St. Patrick's Day queen. A CD entitled Songs from My Father, songs that her father taught her and songs that she used to sing for her and with her father. And, of course, going back to what you can't hear in Sean's bar in New York City, but certainly can hear it here, is one of my favorites, the classic Danny Boy. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
The pipes are calling from glen to glen on down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the leaves are falling. Tis you must go, and I must bide. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. For I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. And if you come when all the flowers are dying, and I am dead as dead I well may be, I know you'll find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me.
Catherine O'Connell. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the River Dance will play in Chicago for the last time at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, through March 18th. When we opened Riverdance in New York in March 1996, we never thought for 1 minute that our show would still be running 15 years later, said producer Moya Doherty. 3 years ago, we embarked on our farewell tour, saying goodbye to every city in North America we have ever played in over the years, and next June 17th, in our 16th year, this current production of Riverdance will end and we will say our final goodbye. It has been a source of immense pride for me as producer that America took Riverdance to its heart to such an amazing extent, and I would like to pay tribute to every dancer, musician, singer, and all the crew and staff who served Riverdance so well over the years. The show that started it all, Riverdance, has been performing in the United States since March 96, when it had its first U.S. premiere at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Since then, the show has tapped its way onto the world stage, thrilling millions of people around the globe. And on the line with us right now is a native of Ireland, having danced for 20 years and achieved first in the Ulster Championships 5 times, winner of Great Britain's and Scotland's dance competitions, a degreed graphic designer, a man sincerely dedicated in helping others by using his unique dancing abilities and talents to raise money for the Little Sisters of the Poor in India. One of the brightest stars in the world of Irish dance, now starring in the worldwide hit Riverdance at the Oriel Theatre through March 18th, Mr. Jason O'Neill. Jason, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks, Kevin, for having me. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you in Chicago. This is your first visit to Chicago.
This is my first visit, and I am having such a blast at the moment. I'm loving it.
Well, you know, we have a few Irish people in Chicago. I don't know if you noticed.
I've bumped into a few Irish people. I've been to a few Irish bars as well.
Well, I told you about a good one at the Gage, and I think you're going to like that, of course. And we're loving everything you're doing at Riverdance. It's got such wonderful reviews. And you know what's surprising about that, Jason, is that it's been around for so long. You would think that it'd lose a little bit of its luster, but that's not true. Everybody still enjoys coming out and seeing it as if it's very fresh and new.
I know. I think the performers, every night, we just want to give it everything we've got. We know it's kind of, Riverdance is a cultural ambassador for Ireland, so we need to do our country proud, and we're all just having a good time out there because it's the last time we'll be in America. So I think that translates to the audience.
Well, and it's true, and although as many people have seen it, there's somebody out there who hasn't. So for that first person who's coming for the first time, it's new for them, and you have to play it that way.
I know. Well, every city we go, we just play to everyone in the audience. We just think this is their first time they've seen us, so right. We go out with that attitude every night and try to give it everything.
Well, for our listeners, just to review, what is the story? It's a two-act, of course, musical. What's the story about?
Well, the story, Riverdance, Act 1 focuses on myth and legend, and it's all about the elements of Ireland and how the country was born. And then Act 2 is about departure and discovery, and it's about when the famine of Ireland and a lot of the Irish people decided to depart from Ireland and go to America, and the different cultures that they discovered on their way, and how they adopted to these cultures and kind of mingled with these cultures and became a whole new country in itself. So that's really what the story is about.
So it's a story of the journey of the Irish people from settling in Ireland and their myths and legends and so forth, and then as they come into the new world and intermingle with natives and so forth, and where we are today, basically.
That's really what it is, yeah.
Now, how long have you been dancing with Riverdance?
I joined in 2009, so mm-hmm. about 3 years. I took a year out to go to college, mm-hmm. but now I'm back because I had itchy feet again. So I have to go back. So this is, I'm back for my third year.
You'll enjoy this. Michael Flatley is a friend of ours who grew up on the south side of Chicago, went to high school right on the south side, and his family is still in the plumbing business in Chicago.
Oh, yes. I knew he was from Chicago.
Right.
So he's a famous friend.
Well, when you go out there, of course, you have had such great success in all the competitions you've been in dancing. Is dancing in the musical Riverdance different than some of the competitions that you're in?
It's completely different. Mm-hmm. The competition world is very disciplined, and you can't really express your emotions as much. But in Riverdance, we get to really show our personalities on stage and interact with the other dancers. And it's not just about yourself. It's a whole team effort. Mm-hmm. So I prefer it, I think.
Do you have to still rehearse on a daily basis?
Yes, we rehearse nearly every day. We run the show, and then we would work out before the show. And even yesterday, we had quite hard rehearsals. I'm quite sore today.
Oh, really?
But we keep working hard.
Now, how about yourself? Do you practice dancing every day?
I would dance every day.
Really?
I can't help myself. I would dance every single day.
Uh-huh.
And I would work out as well. I would swim and I would run. But mostly for me, I just keep dancing.
Well, very frankly, I mean, all the people and the members of the ensemble, not only great dancers, but they're great athletes.
Well, Irish dancing is really progressed. It's quite athletic at the moment. We treat it like a sport. We have physio and we have massage and we take the protein and we treat it like we're sportsmen these days.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read a little excerpt from one of our town's reviews, and very complimentary. It says, Riverdance is a highly theatricalized and deftly modernized approach to Irish step dancing. It preserves the brilliance of the balletic and percussive footwork, the ramrod straight backs, the sharply surprising leaps, the sword-like leg projections, and the meticulously designed floor patterns. But there is also a lushness and sensuality to it that goes beyond the classroom and competitions. And I think that's where it comes out, where merely with your feet and your mannerisms and your dancing, you're telling a story which is unique in the world of entertainment.
That's right. We were always told, go out there and tell a story, really show what the show is about. And the show is much more about dancing. It's kind of deep-rooted in our culture and our traditions, and it's all about memory and nostalgia and, you know, where our family were from. So it's kind of deeper than just the dance itself.
When did you start dancing?
I think I danced when I was about six.
Really?
When I was six, yeah. I have six sisters, so to be honest, I couldn't escape. I had to dance. It was just inevitable.
How did you enjoy the musical Billy Elliot?
I love Billy Elliot. It's one of my favorite TV shows, and I think the plays, it's epic as well.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of empathize with him. I kind of can understand the kind of trying to be secret as a boy, not telling when you danced, and then grow to have such a passion for it and really want to show everyone that you're a dancer.
Was that the way it was when you were growing up? Did people look a little differently at a guy who was learning dancing, or is that something that's more acceptable now?
I think no. I think when I was younger, I was a very secretive dancer, to be mm-hmm. honest. And then when Riverdance came on the scene, it became cool and fashionable, and it was so athletic, and so the men were so strong that I kind of came out and was like, you know, I'm a dancer, and I really am really passionate about dancing. And now everyone, all my friends back home, my family are so supportive of dancing.
Do all the girls, all your sisters, do Irish dancing?
To be honest, I'm the only one who dances. I'm the only one left.
Really?
Yeah. Strangely enough.
Are they all back in Ireland, or have they come to the United States?
Well, one lives in Boston, mm-hmm. and one lives in Australia, and the other one lives in Madrid, and the rest are back in Ireland.
Oh, boy.
Traveling around the world at the moment.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because being part of the ensemble for Riverdance, Jason, you have been able to see the world.
That's one of the really upsides for me, because I love to travel and meet new people and new cultures. And I, for the last 3 years, I've been in a different country so many times in the year. So it's such a great opportunity for me.
Well, as I said in the introduction, I don't want to forget to mention this. And having, as I said before, having been educated by the Jesuits and taught service to others, it's something you lived. And you took your time out and you went to India and, with your talents, raise money for the Little Sisters of the Poor. Tell us a little bit about that, Jason.
It just came out of the blue. I'd heard about this. There's a choir going to India, and they were raising money for the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I thought it was a really good cause. So I got involved, and I said, you know, I'm a dancer. Would you have me on board? And they fell in love with it, and I got sponsored. And I went out there, and I just put on these concerts and just raised money for the poor. And I went with them, and I worked with the nuns, and I visited the sick. And I just kind of used the talent of dance to get me across the world and help other people. So it's a really good opportunity.
It must have been fun. Those nuns have really dedicated their lives to helping others, and it must have been just a thrill for you to be able to be part of that.
It put everything into perspective, and it made me even love dance even more, because it got me to that point where I could help other people, and they were so supportive, and they were really grateful for our help. So it was great. Hopefully I can keep doing that in the future.
Well, of course, you're supposed to be dancing until around June 17th, and what happens afterwards?
Who knows? That's the point. I think I might do Dublin. I think Riverdance are doing Dublin for another few months,
uh-huh.
and then just see where the world takes me. I hope the show continues. I think they're going to the rest of the world. They're going to India and South America and many other countries. So Riverdance, it's not ending for us. So hopefully we can get a global tour.
Well, that's terrific. That should be exciting. There have been many milestones along the way, including the distinction of being the largest Western musical to play China, a record-breaking line of 100 Irish dancers mesmerizing 85,000 people at the 2004 Special Olympics in Dublin, a 15th anniversary celebration at Radio City Music Hall, dancing in Red Square and on the Great Wall of China, two standing-room-only engagements in South Africa, and much more. Of all the performances to emerge from Ireland in the past decade, nothing can compare to the energy, the sensuality, and the spectacle of Riverdance. An innovative and exciting blend of dance, music, and song, Riverdance draws on Irish traditions, and the combined talents of the performers propel Irish dancing and music to the present day, capturing the imagination of audiences across all ages and cultures. This extraordinarily unique show features an international company all performing to the magic of Bill Whelan's music. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that Riverdance will play in Chicago for the last time at the Oriental Theater, 24 West Randolph, through March 18th. And on the line with us right now is one of the stars of Riverdance, Jason O'Neill. Jason, I'm going to give a phone number for people if they'd like to get tickets, and that's 800-775-2000. Well, I will wish you certainly a happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm glad you're in Chicago celebrating that with us, and thanks for bringing all the joy and fun that you have over the years with Riverdance. And, you know, Jason, continued success, and come back to see us in Chicago, will you?
Thanks very much for having me. I will definitely come back.
Take care, my pal.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. It's Jason O'Neill, of course, from Riverdance. Very talented, talented young man, and a person, as they said before, who has brought his talents to help raise money for the Little Sisters of the Poor in India. Quite remarkable. And certainly quite remarkable to come and see all the ensemble dance at the Oriental Theater through March 18th. Again, for tickets, 800-775-2000. Well, again, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, from Catherine O'Connell's CD, Songs from My Father, great Irish classic, Immigrant Eyes. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Old Ellis Island was swarming like a scene from a costume ball, decked out in the colors of Europe, on fire with the hope of it all. My father's own father stood huddled with the tired and hungry and scared. Turn of the century pilgrims, bound by the dream that they shared. They were standing in lines just like cattle, poked and prodded and shoved. Some were one desk away from sweet freedom. Some were torn from someone they loved. Through that teeming tower of Babel came a young man, confused and alone, determined and bound for America, carrying everything. I see him starting with nothing, working hard all of his life. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant eyes. Now he rocks and he stares out the window, but his eyes are still just as clear as the day he sailed through the harbor to come ashore on the island of tears. My grandfather's days are numbered, but I won't let his memory die. He gave me the gift of this country, that look in his immigrant eyes. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's immigrant eyes, I see that day reflected. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see him starting with nothing, working hard all. Grandfather's immigrant eyes. Don't take it for granted, say grandfather's immigrant eyes.
Catherine O'Connell from her CD Songs from My Father. We're back on The Kevin Moore Show. The can't-miss world premiere comedy, 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband, debuts at Metropolis Performing Arts Center through April 15th. Steve and Cheryl are married. Steve and Cheryl work together. Cheryl doesn't really care for Steve. Steve's not too fond of Cheryl. Steve plans to sell their company without Cheryl's knowledge, while Cheryl hires a hitman to take care of Steve. However, comedy erupts as arrows fly, coffee is poisoned, and Steve remains standing. The rest of the office staff are roped into the madness, and the dead bodies literally pile up. Don't miss this all-new, original, side-splittingly funny comedy from Metropolis resident playwright Scott Waldman. Buffalo Grove native resident director Lauren Rowitz is working with a wonderful cast, many of whom call the suburbs home. Local cast members include Robin Hughes of Grays Lake, Laurel Reinhardt of Buffalo Grove, Alex Suha of Wheeling, and Carrie Weiss of Schaumburg. And on the line with us right now is one of Chicago's theater's busiest and most sought-after directors, having done Sideman, Baby, High School Musical, Brighton Beach Memoirs, and the Vagina Monologues, to name but a few. Proud sponsor of the Stevenson High School Playwright Club, one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago theater, and now directing 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband through April 15th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in downtown Arlington Heights, our good friend Lauren Rowitz. Lauren, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and to you too.
Well, thanks, kiddo. And we have a hilarious new comedy at Metropolis, which is known for hilarious new comedies.
Yes. Metropolis, one thing wonderful, they allow new playwrights to try out new plays. And like you said, Scott Waldman is an amazing playwright who has written a couple different original plays for them in the past. And he's just wonderful to work with.
Well, I'm understanding, though, that this bald-headed playwright is kind of a tough guy to get along with. That's not true?
Not at all. We've become great friends through the collaboration. So he's just a talented, funny, funny guy in real life, too.
You know, he is. He's a good friend, and I always love to have him on. And I think he just did A Christmas Carol, which was a Jewish version of A Christmas Carol, which is kind of interesting.
Exactly.
But he's done a great job, of course, with his partner, Jim Jarvis, of course. They do funny things. But tell us about 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. I don't know.
Well, 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband, to me, is just, it's an amazing new work because it's not just a farce, it's not just a comedy. Scott combines a lot of different qualities in one play, and one of the most interesting parts of it is that almost the entire show, there's two scenes going on at once, and so the lines are overlapping, and then occasionally both scenes will say the same line, and then they go back to their individual stories. So it's just very creatively written.
You know, it reminds me of some of those English comedies, of course, where you see a lot of that happening. And there's a lot of stuff going on the stage, so it gives the audience the opportunity to kind of pay attention to what's happening, and it all comes together in the end.
Yes, absolutely. And it asks the audience to be smart and figure out what's going on in both stories. So you've got to pay attention. There's just something going on in every part of the stage at every moment. So it's really an exciting piece of work.
And Steve and Cheryl just can't get along, huh?
No. But the funny part is you'd be surprised how many people I tell that I'm directing this show, and they will say, hey, I've got a tip for you, or I've written my own manual, or, you know, let me give you a few ideas. So,
you know, you've been very busy lately, as I said in the introduction, directing so many plays, Sideman, Baby, High School Musical, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Vagina Monologues, just a few of them I'm naming, and are you enjoying the directing side as compared to the acting side or the administrative side of things?
I do. I love directing because I love to have that vision and be able to collaborate with other people and pull it all together.
Now, you bring up a point. Sometimes you have friends, you said, that come up with some ideas. How do you interact with the cast, of course, or the ensemble that you're working with when you have a vision for something and maybe one of them comes to you and says, you know what, look, I think we should try it this way. You might want to consider this. Are you open-minded to that, or are you kind of myopic and say, you know what, this is the way it's going to be?
No, the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you said. I love when someone comes up with their own idea or wants to try something. Those are the gems that usually come out because it's someone else's idea, and then when people join in and go along with it, you never know what can happen. So to begin with, I have a vision, and I know where I want the story to go in my mind, but then I try to guide the actors as gently as I can, and so that everybody's ideas come into play.
So it's a dynamic, and sometimes even in the course of the play, you might tweak a little bit as you go through the run.
Exactly. And then even more so when working on a new play, and even more so than that when you have the playwright sitting right next to you, because he's there and he can tweak lines, change lines, add lines. So that's a fascinating part of working on a new work.
You do a lot of comedies. You do some musicals and so forth. What about the presentation of a dramatic play?
I love dramas. Mm-hmm. Sideman was a drama
last
year. And then I also directed Stevenson High School, and this year I directed Sweeney Todd there.
Oh, really?
It was exciting.
I'll bet you. How did the kids do with it? Of course, Stevenson High School, that's like a city up there.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But, no, the kids embraced the material, and I was just astounded by their performances. I forgot that I was working with high school students.
Really? They're that good, huh?
Really, really amazing.
Well, they're good because they have a great...
They have no inhibitions.
Yeah, they're good because they have the great leader. That's why they're good.
Oh, that's kind of you. But really, it's their... You know, they have no inhibitions, and they're like sponges. They just want to soak up everything. So it's an exciting age to work with.
You know, I have the opportunity of serving on the board of Chicago's College of the Performing Arts at Roosevelt, and we have, of course, our drama department and so forth, and theater department. And there are so many, and I think you're seeing that just working with Stevenson, those kids go on to college and so forth, so many talented young people in Chicagoland that want to go into the theatrical arts, and a lot of opportunities in Chicago to do that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have a wonderful theater town, as you well know, but it's just a lot of amazing opportunities.
Well, as you're doing your directing, Lauren, did you look up to anyone or emulate or look at someone as a mentor to try to guide you through your process is evolving as a director?
I did. Well, I mean, my biggest inspiration in my life is my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a children's dentist in Chicago.
Really?
But his whole life has done theater. And from an early age, I believe I was 8 when I played one of the snow kids in Carousel, and he was Jigger.
Really?
And he's been a constant inspiration to me. And also, when I attended UCLA, there were a couple teachers there that inspired me. In fact, one of them in particular to go on to direct, because I would watch her, and I loved how she directed. So she was an inspiration.
I didn't realize you went to UCLA. What a great theater department they have out there, huh?
Yes, absolutely. And now I think a lot more concentration on television and film.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get back out there?
I do occasionally. I have a brother out there,
mm-hmm.
and he actually is a producer, director, and writer for the television show Psych.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it's in your DNA, actually.
Well, I've got a brother who's a doctor and a sister who is a lawyer also, so go figure.
Well, what's next up for Lauren Rawitz?
Next up, I am working on the one-act productions at Stevenson, which is exciting because I selected 6 student playwrights and then 6 student directors, and then they cast all student actors. So it's a complete production run by the students.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's just
very
terrific.
Exciting.
Well, of course, we're looking forward to coming out to the Metropolis ourselves and do one of our Kevin Moore Presents shows, the music of George Gershwin, out in April. And certainly,
so exciting.
Of course, I noticed that our good friend Robin Hughes is in part of your ensemble. What a terrific lady she is.
Absolutely. She wears many hats.
She does. She really does. And and things are going well now. Mr. Jarvis, of course, is out at the Paramount, but you certainly have someone who has filled in admirably, doing a great job out there.
Right, Charlie Beck.
Charlie was on our show a couple months ago talking about Metropolis, and I think he really loves it. I think he's really going to make a difference as time goes on.
Yes, I do too. I mean, when you go to the shows, he's sitting there in the lobby, he's talking to everyone, and he's just a very positive energy about him.
A great place to see the theater. Performing Arts of Metropolis is a nonprofit theater management company dedicated to providing quality entertainment and education to the Northwest suburbs. We do this by producing and presenting exceptional productions, developing a superior educational program, and collaborating with the community of Arlington Heights. In accordance with our mission, Performing Arts at Metropolis organizational goals include providing an artistic and collaborative home for presenting companies, artistic associates, and the community, investing in high-quality productions and education programs to generate income to support and broaden existing programs, and partnering with area nonprofit organizations, schools, libraries, and park districts to provide our community with the best performing arts experiences possible. The can't-miss world premiere comedy 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband debuts at Metropolis Performing Arts Center through April 15th. On the line with us right now is the director, Lauren Rawitz. Lauren, maybe a phone number or website if people would like to get some information to come out and see the show?
Let's see. The box office is 847-577-2121.
And, of course, you can go on Metropolis' website. But continued success, kiddo. Would you say hello to my good buddy Scott Waldman for me?
Absolutely, I will.
And wish him a happy St. Patrick's Day. And tell him on St. Patrick's Day he's Irish, too.
Okay. You got it.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Lauren Rowitz from the Metropolis Performing Arts Center. Certainly a funny show written by just a funny guy. Scott Wolman's a good pal. For information, 847-577-2121. And we'll get back to Catherine O'Connell's CD, Songs for My Father, the classic Shauna Golden. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
The cold winds from the mountains are calling soft to me. The smell of scented heather brings bitter memories. The wild and lonely eagle up in the summer sky flies high o'er Shauna Golden, where my young
Catherine O'Connell, Shauna Golden. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Had the honor of receiving the Leonardo da Vinci Award for excellence in the field of broadcasting and communications a year or so ago, and a group of Italian people, of course, and received the award. And as they were announcing my name, Kevin Moore, for the and everybody laughed. He said, "Wait a second, I thought you were supposed to be Italian." Well, actually, my mother is Italian, so that's how I fit in. But in honor of that, of course, we have to celebrate St. Joseph's Day and talk a little bit about that. We talk about St. Patrick's Day. The feast day of St. Joseph is celebrated on March 19th every year. St. Joseph's Day is a Roman Catholic feast commemorating the life of St. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus and husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. People with very strong religious association, often those of Southern Italian descent, typically celebrate St. Joseph's Day. March 19th is said to be St. Joseph's birthday. In Sicily, where St. Joseph is regarded as many as their patron saint, and many Italian-American communities, thanks are given to St. Joseph, San Giuseppe in Italian, for preventing a famine in Sicily during the Middle Ages. According to legend, there was a severe drought at the time, and the people prayed for their patron saint to bring them rain. They promised that if he answered their prayers, they would prepare a large feast to honor him. The rain did come, and the people of Sicily prepared a large banquet for their patron saint. The fava bean was the crop which saved the population from starvation, and is a traditional part of St. Joseph's Day altars and traditions. Giving food to the needy is a St. Joseph's Day custom. In some communities, it is traditional to wear red clothing and eat a Sicilian pastry known as zeppoli on St. Joseph's Day. Upon a typical St. Joseph's Day altar, people place flowers, limes, candles, wine, fava beans, specially prepared cakes, breads, and cookies, as well as other meatless dishes and zeppoli. Foods are traditionally served containing breadcrumbs to represent sawdust, since St. Joseph was a carpenter. Because the feast occurs during Lent, traditionally no meat was allowed on the celebration table. The altar usually has three tiers to represent the Trinity. Fava beans, associated with good luck because they survived that Sicilian drought, often are given away in dried form to bring good fortune. Elaborate breads are shaped into biblical symbols such as fish and Joseph's staff. These and many other fanciful foods sometimes are displayed on a three-tiered altar for guests to behold. As for dessert, celebrations generally include zeppoli or sfinci, fried dough confections that are filled with ricotta cheese, fruit or cream, or just drizzled with honey. And no celebration is complete without a take-home bag of cookies, fruit, and one fava bean. So that's the story of St. Joseph's Day, which we celebrate after St. Patrick's Day on March 19th. Standard Market 333 East Ogden, a new 33,000-square-foot specialty food store, announces its inaugural open house on Saturday, March 24th from 11 to 8, with demonstrations and events scheduled around the clock. Festivities will include a Standard Market chef's chili cook-off, judged by customers and local foodies, wine tastings, meet the farmer sessions, vendor samplings, face painting, local live entertainment, and prizes on the hour, all leading up to the day's main event, Standard Market Sweep. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman, entrepreneur, cutting-edge expert in the field of business technology, a person sincerely dedicated in sharing his passion for food and the culinary arts with his customers, and the director of technology for Chicago's newest and hottest specialty food store, which is a celebration of fine foods and wines, Standard Market, located at 333 East Ogden in Westmont, Mr. Ken Sang. Ken, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good. Congratulations on the great success of Standard Market. What a place is this?
Thank you. Thank you.
It's so many different things in one, so many opportunities for the person to come out to see what's available in the world of food and wine, and it all starts out with a farmer's market.
Yeah, absolutely. Right when you walk in the store, you know, big bright displays, you know, big piles of, you know, really the freshest produce around.
You know, as we were talking a little earlier, we kind of likened it to something like a Fox and O'Bell in Chicago or a Dean and DeLuca in New York. And I think of a place like the Ferry Building in San Francisco or even the Farmers Market up in Seattle, all the great places where you can come and get a whole different assortment of foods and wines and beers and cheeses and everything. It's now it's all under one roof in Westmont.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something a little bit different than, you know, what you have in the western suburbs. And it's really like going to your, you know, little vendors. We've got a great greengrocer, a great butcher, a great fish market, a bakery, wine and cheese shop, deli, all under one roof. So something a little bit different.
You know, I think in years past, I know when I was growing up, of course, my mom used to go shopping once a week and buy three big bushel baskets full of food, and that was supposed to keep us all week. But I think now, I think people are shopping more regularly, maybe once every night or every couple nights, much like they do in the European style of buying food and so forth, and choosing what they want to eat for that evening and coming back and getting something fresh and putting it on the table rather than to shop for 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, rather than turning to TV dinners and other, you know, packaged products, I think people are kind of turning toward fresher foods and realizing that if you want to eat fresh and want to eat, you know, healthy and have better ingredients, you're going to have to go a few times a week, and that's kind of what we provide.
Of course, you have a great idea. One of the highlights of the store is, what's for dinner tonight? tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. It's a cold pack dinner for two. You know, our chefs prepare it in-house every night, and it's an entree with two sides. So, for example, tonight it's pot roast with mashed potatoes and some vegetables. And it's all cooked and ready to go. You can just take it home and throw it in the microwave or throw it in the oven, and you got a meal for two for $16.99.
Simple and certainly easy enough to do. The Wine and Beers and Cheese Shop, now that's something. And you got a cellar club, too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, the cellar club, we're actually at an event tonight. It's kind of a, you know, our version of the wine club. But we want to highlight interesting wines that you're not going to find elsewhere, things that, we might find a nice vineyard in California, for example, and we might buy up their whole stock for the year. You know, we want to be able to bring in good values and introduce people that are into wine to things they hadn't seen before in other stores.
You know, and each one of the specialty shops within Standard Market has their own manager, somebody who's going to be there to be attentive to you and be able to respond to your questions. And if you want something that you don't see, I would imagine they'll listen and maybe even provide it for you down the line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we can special order and really anything you're looking for. For example, if you're looking for a special cheese, you know, our head fromagier can find that cheese and bring it in. If you're looking for a special cut of meat, you know, our head butcher can certainly get that for you.
And, of course, a great market bakery that you have with all the artisan breads that you have that change every day.
Mm-hmm. And it's something a little different than, you know, most bakeries that you find inside a store. You know, they say fresh baked every day, but they're taking loaves that were baked somewhere else, partially frozen, and they throw them in the oven and reheat them, and they call it fresh baked, whereas we're actually, you know, taking ingredients like flour, water, you know, eggs, you know, not really a novel idea, but, you know, not a lot of people are doing it, you know, making bread from scratch every day.
You know, this is something that caught my eye in the delicatessen, and it's a type of prosciutto which is now made in Iowa, and it's supposed to be as good as the prosciutto that you get from Italy, and that's Lucertia.
That's right. Lucertia's, Herb and Kathy Eckhouse, they've taken what they saw in Italy and brought it to Iowa. You know, there's a lot of pork out there, and they decided, well, we can do it, you know, as well or better than what the Italians are doing. And so, really, the prosciutto they're making is excellent. You know, it's been called the prosciutto of happiness.
Very, very tasty. I've had it, and it just certainly competes with what you can get from Italy, and it's just terrific. And of course, you have a butcher shop, which is with wet and dry aged in house beef, antibiotic free chicken, and so forth, and special pork and so forth.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what we try to bring in is, you know, top quality meat. So all of our beef, for example, is USDA prime or top choice. You mentioned our dry aged beef program. You know, we take steaks, you know, like a steakhouse would, like Allen Brothers or you know, like what you might find at a Gibson's. Mm-hmm. But we're doing it in house and aging it. You can see it in a big, you know, glass case in our butcher department. And you know, you're paying a fraction of the price that you'd be paying elsewhere.
And what's nice is you can go to the butcher shop, and if you would like a porterhouse cut right from the loin at whatever thickness you want, you can ask the butcher to do that, and he'd be happy to provide that service for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What we're doing is we're bringing in, you know, big pieces of meat and cutting it down ourselves every day. So if you want a steak cut to your specification, mm-hmm. you can absolutely do that. You know, other places are bringing pre-cut steaks already packaged up, and, you know, we're doing it kind of the old-fashioned way.
And what about for our friends like myself who are Catholic on Fridays? What do we have?
Oh, absolutely. We got plenty of Lenten specials. You know, this Friday we're going to have our what's for dinner tonight. You know, it's going to be a salmon with a nice rice peel off and some vegetables. You know, we also have an extensive fish market in our store. We've got we're bringing in whole fish, you know, from all around the world and breaking it down ourselves. So rather than, you know, some places just bring in a little bit of frozen tilapia and thawing it out. You know, you'll see these beautiful, you know, real big cuts of fish, and then we're cutting them down to order every day.
And the best hamburger in the south suburbs, the west suburbs, or even into Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. At Standard Grill, it's our in-house restaurant. It's sort of our exposition. It's our ability to show off, you know, our chef talent within the store. And what we do is we take a you know, meat that we grind in our butcher shop. It's a special blend of brisket, chuck, and sirloin. And we grind fresh every day. The bun is, you know, made fresh from scratch in our bakery. You know, the produce, you get the best lettuce, tomato, you know, right there, you know, steps away from the entrance of the restaurant. And it's, you know, topped with cheeses from our, artisan cheese selection in our wine and cheese shop.
It's going to be a great place to go to. And I think that what's nice, people can shop, and that maybe what they should do, maybe they shouldn't do this, is eat at the Standard Grill before they start shopping, because maybe they won't buy as much then. That's the problem.
Well, the thing is, you know, you eat all the great food in there and you find out, hey, you know, all these products came from this market. So even if you did enjoy a great meal at the grill, you know, I think you'll still find there's a lot that you want to put in your cart and buy.
You know, this is certainly something new to the western suburbs. Is it something you plan on expanding throughout the Chicagoland area?
Well, you know, this is our first store, and mm-hmm. it's the only store of its kind right now. But certainly I think that, you know, we've had a lot of people visit from not only, you know, the immediate, you know, community, but other towns in the Chicago area. So I think, you know, certainly one day down the road, if you know, we'd like to grow and you know, visit other towns, definitely.
You know, I think that you're going to find people coming from Chicago, which is unusual, very frankly, Kenny, but I think you're going to see people coming from Chicago to shop in Westmont now, because I think they're going to see that what a great place it is, how welcoming the staff is, and what great opportunity they have for the variety of food that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, the quality of food and the variety of food that we have at Standard Market is unrivaled in Chicagoland. So we definitely welcome people from, you know, the city and, you know, other towns as well.
A true celebration of food, Standard Market tantalizes patron senses from the first step in the door with visually arresting, thoughtful selections of high-quality items at every turn. Standard Market provides customers with a haven for culinary delights served in an inviting environment that inspires discovery. It is located at 333 East Ogden Avenue in Westmont. And on the line with us right now is the Director of Technology for Standard Market, our good friend Ken Sang. Maybe a phone number or website, Ken, if like people would like to get some information?
Yeah, absolutely. Visit us at standardmarket.com, or if you want to call us, we're at 630-366-7030.
Well, I'm looking forward to coming out there myself and introducing myself and seeing the place and be dazzled.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kenny.
Take care.
Kenny Sang from the Standard Market, 333 East Ogden. For information, 630-366-7030. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope your listeners have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank our guest, Jason O'Neill from Riverdance, playing at the Oriental Theater through March 18th. For information, 800-775-2000. Make sure you get out to see Riverdance. Last time it's going to be in Chicago. Lauren Rowitz with my good pal, Scott Waldman, 10 Ways to Kill Your Husband, through April 15th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in downtown Arlington Heights. For information, 847-577-2121. And finally, Kenny Sang, the Director of Technology at the hottest new specialty food store, Standard Market, located at 333 East Ogden, Westmont. For information, 630-366-7030. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. And I'd like to add certainly a happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone, and end with an Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. Each time you hear her name, I know the way I feel for you.
eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose the music.